So we're going to look just at verses 1 to 7, bit of an introduction tonight. 2 Timothy, we chose it because it's about how Paul, an older guy, mentors a younger person. I thought it'd be especially relevant for this service. It's all about what does it mean to be a disciple? Paul's teaching Timothy. Paul writes this letter to Timothy, and it's just a letter. Probably wasn't addressed like that, but it's a letter that would have been on a scroll. And wouldn't it not just have been for Timothy, it would have been for Timothy and everybody else. It's probably the last letter that Paul wrote. He wrote it in jail. And he was near the end of his life in prison. Paul has trained Timothy up. He may well have led Timothy to the Lord. We're not sure about that, but there's indications that maybe he did. If you can see up on the screen, there's a couple of missionary journeys. So on the one on the left up there, Paul actually takes off from Antioch and goes this way and then to Lystra. See where this light is? That's where Timothy was. And then he goes back. And they think that Timothy, at this stage, was probably a primary school age boy. And he may well have become a Christian at that stage. Secondly, that was Paul's first missionary journey. His second missionary journey, Paul takes off up here and goes to Lystra again. And this is quite a few years later. And he takes Timothy with him. They think by this stage, Timothy was probably in his late teens. And he takes him as an apprentice, goes through modern-day Turkey, across to Greece. We looked at the second missionary journey last year in a series, and travels to all these places, and then goes back here. Paul keeps on mentoring Timothy through writing letters to him, through sending him on different journeys. If you read through the New Testament, Timothy is mentioned a lot as one of Paul's assistants. And sometimes when Paul's writing other letters, there's Timothy there as well. It's the old bloke with the young apprentice. Who knows what they look like, but that's a picture I found of maybe Paul and Timothy. They're travelling together, and Timothy's learning as he goes, and what a great education he would have got. If we have a look at Acts chapter 6, 16, this is actually what happens. So let me read it to us. He, Paul, came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. So Timothy's sort of a mixed marriage, Jew and Greek. The brothers of Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and greatly grew in numbers.
Paul and Timothy had a special relationship. It was very close. Did you notice something? Verse number 3. What does Paul do to Timothy? He circumcises him. It's a very intimate thing to do, isn't it? About as close as you can get. Now, Paul takes Timothy along. Paul, let's go to our passage now. What does Paul say to Timothy? Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul says, I am an apostle. He has been added to the 12 disciples for a specific task, as we know from other parts of the book of Acts, to tell the non-Jews, the Gentiles, all about Jesus. In verse 1 he says, this is the gospel. How does he define it here? It's the promise of life, of eternal life, that is in Christ Jesus. Paul's very fond of using this term, in Christ Jesus. It means being in a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus, believing, trusting, and acknowledging. And just as Paul was in that personal relationship with Jesus, he and Timothy have a special relationship. It's like a father, a loving father to a son. Paul says, do you notice, my dear son, verse 2. Paul cares for Timothy in this way. And then he gives us his greeting.
And it's easy just to skim over it. But what does it say? Grace, mercy, and peace. He's wanting him to understand more and more that God has given the free gift of eternal life through Jesus. Understand more about grace. Understand that God shows his mercy to us who are completely undeserving. And understand that peace comes about reconciliation between God and people through Jesus. So he's saying, I want you to understand more and more what Jesus has done for us. Isn't it a great greeting? Just a wonderful thing. Do you know our new Archbishop, I was in a meeting where he was talking, Glenn Davies, and he was just talking about how he always signs his letters, grace and peace, at the end, grace and peace. And he wants people to understand God's grace and peace more. So when I'm doing my emails now, I'm just starting to copy that because I think it's great to do. Think about grace and peace. Now, Paul is a mentor to Timothy. He teaches him on the job. Let's think about other people that have been mentors. There was a guy called Nash. He was an English minister. His nickname was Bash Nash. I can't remember his first name, but Nash. In the 1930s, anybody heard of him? What was his first name? E.H. Nash. In the 1930s, he started to run camps for British private schoolboys. And he would go to the private schools, and then he would talk to them and run Christian groups, and then he would, in the holidays, take kids away and teach them all about Jesus. And then he would write letters to the key ones. Through him, people such as John Stott, Dick Lucas, and the giants of the British evangelicals became Christians and became leaders. John Stott used to say he would dread getting a letter from E.H. Nash because it was so demanding and encouraging him to live as a Christian and ask him, are you doing all these things? But it's good to actually be mentored by somebody. I want to ask you, if you're growing in your faith, is somebody teaching you what it means to live as a disciple of Jesus, just like Paul taught Timothy? If somebody's not, look for somebody who can teach you. If you're mature, who are you influencing? So you're either a Paul or Timothy? But this is what God's pattern is for people to actually mentor others. I became a Christian in about year 11 at school, and sort of muddled along for a while going to a church. When I went to university, on the first day of orientation week, I was just wandering around as a couple of guys came up to me and started talking to me, and I had to do a survey, and then they said, do you want to do a Bible study? And I said yes, and I met with a guy called Franz for the whole first year, every week, one lunchtime, and he just taught me so much about Jesus. And then after he'd actually finished university, another guy called Ian, who was the leader of the group, the Christian group, started discipling me. And then when I was at church, a student minister came along and started spending a time with a group of us and really encouraged us to think seriously about full-time ministry. And that's how I started to think about more college. But I can look back and think about significant people in my lives who helped me so much as a young Christian. I want you to think about, are there people like that in your lives? If there are, give praise to God. If you're an older person, who are you now mentoring? Because God's pattern is for young in the faith to be mentored by those old in the faith. And we can learn about this. By the way, if you think, I'd really like to be mentored by somebody, but I can't think of anybody, come and talk to me or Don. We'll find somebody to spend some time with you, reading the Bible together and praying and teaching you about Jesus. We'd like more and more people to be involved in that. Let's move on to point number two. God is at work in Timothy's life through home and parents. Paul has been praying for Timothy. He tells him that he prays for him regularly, and he wants him to be filled with joy. And then he talks about, in verse 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Think about that. Timothy is a third generation Christian. His mother and his grandmother would have been Jews, and they would have heard about Jesus from Paul when he came to Lystra and would have become Christians. And Timothy would have grown up being taught by his mother and grandmother. A Christian home is an incredibly valuable thing. Can I encourage us to think about, do we have family devotions at our homes where we can discuss Christianity, where we can read the Bible and pray? It's a great blessing to be in a Christian home. As I was growing up, my parents weren't active Christians and didn't start going to church regularly till I was about 16, and I just missed out on that. And I think that's a great loss to me. And if you've been brought up in a Christian home, praise the Lord for that, especially a Christian home where Christianity is at the forefront, where people read the Bible and pray and disciple you. As we think about this, I was thinking about this, it sort of makes sense of another thing that Paul says when he's talking about the value of a Christian home. Remember in Corinthians, he says, don't be yoked with unbelievers. A Christian shouldn't marry a non-Christian. Why? Because a Christian home doesn't function very well when there's one Christian and one non-Christian. It's much better. Now, we don't know if Timothy's father was converted. It's probably unlikely. And yet Timothy was still brought up as a Christian, so it can happen. But what I'm saying is, let's value how Christian parents teach their kids, and let's keep on passing that on. And Timothy is able to be used by God in a mighty way because of his background and the fact that he's been brought up by his parents, by his mother and grandmother in the Christian faith. Well, last point, God has specifically gifted Timothy, verses 6 and 7. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We're not told what the gift of God that Timothy gets. It's probably, they think, because of the later parts in the passage, in the letter, the gift either of preaching or of being an evangelist. But how does it happen? Well, Paul puts his hands on Timothy's head. And that's a tradition that still happens today. Let me explain what happened yesterday. Here's a picture of the ordination service at Sydney St Andrew's Cathedral. And there is Don Taylor, who is one of the 35 ordained. And I just thought you might like to see Don dressed up in the robes. And if he's come at 8 o'clock in the morning, you most likely see him dressed in the robes sometimes. But here he is. At the service, this is what happened. Firstly, all the ordination people are there, and there's the Archbishop sitting in a chair, and there's some other bishops and things, and they'll ask these questions, which have already been asked before, and they want to answer all the questions, and they have to answer the questions together. And then, after that, each one of them came up individually. This isn't a photo of Don, this is somebody else getting ordained, but the bishops and the Archbishop are putting their hands upon Don and praying for him, continuing that tradition. And you notice when we sent you guys off to the Philippines, we got you up front, didn't we? And we put our hands upon you and prayed for you, commissioned you to go. It's a good tradition to do. And Paul did that to Timothy.
Now, Timothy, it seems like, is in need of encouragement from verses 6 and 7. It seems that Timothy's a little bit timid. He needs encouragement and reassurance. Maybe he's a shy and sensitive type. But he is to fan into flame the gift of God. You know, if you have a fire and it's starting to go out, you just get some paper or something like that and you go boom, 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 and it suddenly comes alive again. Paul's saying to Timothy, I want you to make your faith more alive.
And what how it's going to happen is through the Spirit working more and more in you, the Holy Spirit. God enables our ministry to become more and more vibrant and alive. And what does God do? Do you notice? What sort of gift does God give us? How does the Spirit work within us? Well, it's these things. It's power, love, and self-discipline. God gives us power as His Spirit works within us and does amazing things through us. We're to do it all in love. God helps us to love and care for each other. And He also gives us self-discipline. Let's just finish by thinking about self-discipline. Are there areas in your life where you need a bit more self-discipline? I know there are in mine. Maybe it's time management, actually making time to spend, to prioritise, to spend time with God, reading His Word and praying. Maybe it's self-discipline in avoiding temptation to gossip, the wrong types of sexual behaviour or desires. I want to encourage us to claim this promise. God's Spirit, as we allow Him to work through us, gives us this self-discipline. So tonight, we have seen that Paul mentors Timothy. We've seen the value of a godly home. And we've also seen that God gives us a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. I'm excited about moving through 2 Timothy. I hope you are too. Give me some feedback tonight about the manuscript discovery. I hope you found that helpful. Can I encourage you to read it? Let's just finish with a word of prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Paul, for his mentoring of Timothy. We pray that You might help us to think about, do we need to be mentored by somebody, or are we in a position as a mature Christian to start mentoring somebody else? Father, we thank You that Timothy came from a secure, loving Christian family. And we thank You, Lord, for those people that are here tonight that are in that same situation. And we thank You for blessing them. Father, for those that aren't married in the future, help them to marry a Christian so that they can create a stable Christian family life and teach young children about Jesus. And Father, also we thank You for Your Spirit, which gives us this great gift, this gift of power, of love, and self-discipline.